100 years ago, the world witnessed the birth of tremendous ideas that has turned things around in different areas.
Today, the world desperately needs a change, but it starts with one person that will set another course for the next century.
A world changer with only one mission, one agenda. Innovate! Be the one! Change your world this season at the Excellence in Leadership Conference 2011.
Hallelujah! Oh, you had my story already. Oh my God. Nobody knows it better than she does. She delivered. Is it that she delivered me? No. She delivered the pair of white shoes from me. Please help me to appreciate my sweetheart. Hallelujah. God blessed me with a woman of excellence. When you come and you see things working just as she's a perfectionist. She wants it the way God wants it. Amen. Please I want you to shake hands with some two or three people. Tell them it's a privilege to be sitting next to you, Your Excellency. This is a leaders' conference. Welcome to ELC 2011. Please let's have a seat. See, you never might know who's sitting next to you. Jesus told the woman by the well of Samaria, if you knew the gift of God and the one asking you for water, you would ask me and I will give you living water. If only you knew. Sometimes we're so close to destiny, so close to a miracle, but we're used to stereotyping. We stereotype. We've seen people like that before. It's nothing. Who knows? This morning, you might just be sitting next to either Mrs. President or Mr. President, or Mrs. Governor or Mr. Governor, or a federal minister, or a world-class minister of the gospel, CEO of a multinational corporation, the next richest man or richest woman in the world. Who knows? I mean, that's what this conference is about. What is happening here is defining 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now. Defining. Because the moment God says it, it is created. And then we take practical steps towards the fulfillment. That's what this conference is about. It's about restructuring, repositioning, redistribution of power. Hallelujah. So who knows? That person sitting next to you. Take a good look at the person again. If you didn't greet the person very well, please repent. Hallelujah. I want to say a very special welcome to ELC 2011. We're very expectant. We're trusting God. I must emphasize, ELC is not another church conference. In this type, there's one thing we don't like, it is tradition. We don't do tradition. We don't do programs because that's what churches are supposed to do. This one was commanded by God. Our assignment in this time is to raise leaders, raise role models in the society. And God's given us different platforms through which we're doing that. Different platforms, unique ones. We discovered we don't have a leadership school in our country. It is very interesting how people expect magic from those appointed into leadership position in our country, whereas nobody taught them leadership before. We don't teach leadership in our schools. We don't have schools for leadership. It's an ex-governor said to me on a flight in Nigeria, It's like we ask people who never went to flying school to fly an aircraft. When the plane crashes, then everybody blames them. You know, that's how our situation is. But God asked us to start a leadership school, the Daystar Leadership Academy, and we've seen awesome transformation in the lives of thousands and thousands of people who have spread all over the world now. The ELC, the Excellence in Leadership Conference, is just one of those platforms. The key thing is not just that we come to hear things we've never heard before. It is that the Spirit of God is here for the anointing of David. When God pours oil on David's head, Saul's time is over. So even though in the physical, you may still see Saul, his time is over. The structure has changed. So as the power of God comes on you in conference, I want you to know the equation has changed over this country in the name of Jesus Christ. And then from here on, God creates unique opportunities, awesome opportunities for us to influence people. So welcome to ELC 2011. We pray it will be your mount of transfiguration, a place of divine encounters, a reference point in your life and mind from here on, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I'd like to once again very specially welcome those who have come from far and near, especially those who came from far. We have a number of people from outside this country, like we had earlier on, from Germany, from Belgium, from the UK. And we have people from all around Nigeria. A little past 8 p.m. yesterday, Pastor sent me a text message coming by road all the way from Jalingo. And as at 10 minutes past 8, they were passing through Akure last night, heading for ELC. Said, oh my God, you must bless someone in this conference. If somebody will come all the way. So we have people all the way from Maiduguri, from Abuja, from Port Harcourt, from Yenagoa. And we want to say a big welcome to every single person. Thank you for coming. I'd like to very specially appreciate a very wonderful man of God. He sprang a surprise on us this morning. He's an elderly man. He's one of the kindest men of God I have met. I mean, one of the kindest. When this church was starting, he was one of those who gave us some of the greatest encouragement, you know, that we got. An elderly man of God, the presiding bishop of Good News Church, Lagos. I wanted to give a very special welcome. And he's the secretary of the Christian Association of Nigeria in Lagos State. Let's give a very special welcome to Bishop George Amu. Bless you, sir. I know I said he's one of the kindest men of God. I should add, he's one of the most handsome men of God that I have met. I'm telling you. And that's true. Thank you so much, Daddy. Thank you for coming. Really, really appreciate your coming. Amen. In Daystar, we don't only teach leadership, we do leadership. And we have come from our discoveries from God. We've come to realize that the purpose of leadership is not to raise followers. The purpose of leadership is not to raise perpetual followers, it is to raise leaders. So, in Daystar, we groom CEOs. We groom men and women of God. We've had the privilege from God to have had people train with us and who have been released to start churches and ministries of their own. We have quite a number of them here this morning. Pastor Sheyi Oladimeji. Pastor Ayo Daniels. I saw Pastor and Mrs. Elijah McPrince. Pastor and Mrs. Godwin Owubamen. All the way from Abuja. Amen. Well, as I cite them, I will mention their names. Amen. So we are awesomely blessed to have us in this conference. Pastor Agbo came all the way with another minister from their church, all the way from Germany. That's awesome. We really, really appreciate your coming. Awesome. 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 Pastor and Mrs. Dick, all the way from Belgium. Awesome. Thank you. We're blessed. Awesome. Amen. All right. There are so many people, really, to introduce. So many. We'll be mentioning their names. Everybody here is special, isn't it? But I want to preach, so can I preach first? Then we'll continue with the introductions later. But I can see loads of awesome, special people who came all the way, a whole team from Benin, a whole contingent from Wari also. Well, before I go on, let me mention that the way our conference is structured, we have this general session for a start each morning. This conference is running for 3 days. This general session starts at 9 a.m. and it ends at 10:45 a.m. We have a message. We have ministration also in music. And then we have a break for 30 minutes, during which we are able to move into our various workshop centers. And then we can buy some of the conference products and some of the speakers' products also. 11:15 a.m. to 1 p.m., we'll have our specialized workshops. Powerful, powerful ones, where we go into specific areas. I had to, get hear from people who have excelled in different areas of life. We believe that there are 9 powerful areas of influence. Anybody who wants to shape a society, will be used of God in one of those areas. So, we have 3 of the workshops running concurrently each day, and you can attend only one at a time. We'll give us more information on that when we're done, but one session will be running here, another one in the next hall there, and then there's one just a little further up the road where the third session will be holding, 11:15 a.m. to 1 p.m. Then we have break from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m., lunch break. We have a food court there, several vendors, beautifully packaged food, different, we have a range of prices, depending on your financial muscle. Okay? So, but all clean, hygienic, beautiful food. And we even have a small restaurant at the back here. That's on the higher end. That one, you have a menu card. You can choose what you want to eat. You want to eat a 4-course meal? Fine. As long as... you understand what I mean? Okay? In the course of the conference, we'll be blessed. There'll be ministration and music. And that's going to be a very special dimension to our conference this year. It's my pleasure to welcome to ELC 2011. Hold on. someone that I have tremendous respect for. The grace of God on his life is apostolic in dimension. But God called him to minister through music. And God used him to lift worship to a new level in this nation and around the world. It's a pleasure to have him and his wife here with us in ELC. He'll be ministering to us in ELC beginning from this morning. Please welcome Dr. Panam Pasipola and his dear wife. Welcome. It's a pleasure to have you, Sir Ama, and the whole team, all the way from Jaws. And we look forward to open heaven. Say amen. Okay, let me give us kind of an introduction, just an appetizer for this conference. All right. I'll read from Genesis 41, verses 33 to 43. Genesis chapter 41, I'm reading from verse 33. And this will just about be a prophecy for someone here. Genesis chapter 41, from verse 33. Now therefore, this is Joseph speaking. Let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this. Let him appoint officers over the land to collect 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh. And let them keep food in the cities. Then that food shall be as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took the signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. And he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried out before him, bow the knee. So he set him over all the land of Egypt. Let's title our discussion, Leadership That Works. Leadership That Works. We ask sweet Holy Spirit for the spirit of wisdom as we begin this conference in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Our world is in desperate need of solutions right now. Desperate need of economic solutions. We have economic crisis. Europe right now is in the eye of the storm, economically speaking. And the prime ministers are beginning to lose their positions. The world is in need of political solutions. The world is in need of social solutions. The world is in need of spiritual solutions right now. But the good news for us is that leadership is reserved for problem solvers. The essence of leadership is problem solving. That's the essence. That's why we need leaders. It's not just to have people to occupy positions. It's to have people who can provide direction and people who can provide solutions. The essence of leadership is problem solving. Now, problem solving is a function of wisdom. Wisdom is accurate application of knowledge. Of course, wisdom comes on two dimensions. We have natural wisdom, we have wisdom on the spiritual plane. But essentially, wisdom is the accurate application of knowledge, providing solutions. And in desperate times like this, when you find one man, one woman, who can provide solutions, nobody cares where they come from. When you are a solution provider, especially to uncommon problems, nobody cares your race. Nobody cares your color. Nobody cares your social background or status, as long as you can get the problem solved. So that's what I see in the life of Joseph. At the time he was invited to the palace, he was invited there not just because he had gone for an anointing service or because he knew how to speak in tongues. He was invited to the palace because there was a problem. I tell people when I pray for them that their lives will turn around within 24 hours. I tell them before you say amen, answer one question. You know, who wouldn't like the kind of a breakthrough, you know, that that Joseph had? You wake up in prison in the morning. By the time you are sleeping in the night, you sleep in the palace. I'm telling you, when I say that prayer over anybody, they say a loud amen. That within 24 hours, your story will change. They will send for you in the palace. Okay. Since you are interested, since you are really keen on saying amen, then I should say, before you say amen, answer my question. Can you solve a national problem? See, Joseph was not invited to the palace because Pharaoh just woke up and he had a nice dream and an angel appeared to him and said, look, you are a dead man if you don't invite Joseph to this palace tonight. Oh no, Pharaoh was in a difficult position. He had a dream. Some part of the dream looked positive, but the dream ended badly. And he needed someone to interpret the dream. Nobody could interpret the dream. That was when someone remembered. I encountered a man 2 years ago, and it wasn't the best of places. It was in prison. Fellow prisoner. But the day he was needed, they had to send for him in the palace. Not only was he a prisoner, he was a slave. Not only was he a slave who had been traded in the market there in Egypt, he was a foreigner. There were too many things that were supposed to count against Joseph, but all of them did not matter. The day the whole nation found itself in a strait, the king found himself in a tough place, and there was nobody else who could provide the solution except the young man in prison. Not long from now, they will send for you. Whatever it will take, okay, whatever it will take to become a solution provider for your generation, heaven will deposit it in your life now. David was a shepherd boy. He wasn't a trained soldier. He hadn't gone to the best schools in town. He wasn't trained for the palace. He was just a shepherd boy sent by his father to take care of sheep. But the day the whole nation confronted a problem that no one could solve, and David solved it, nobody cared where he came from. From there on, nobody cared. Nobody cared. He was a shepherd boy. In fact, the day he took Goliath out, he didn't go to the battlefront to fight. He went there running errands for his father, took food supplies to his brother. But I observe one thing. When the anointing of the Spirit of God is on you, the world's problems become your own opportunities. Did you hear what Pharaoh said? Can we find a man like this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? So Pharaoh, as much of an idol worshiper as he was, acknowledged that what was coming from Joseph was beyond human ability. Can we find a man like this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? I asked myself, what will be the proof that the Spirit of God is in me? If I think the way everybody thinks, if I get stranded where they get stranded, if I talk the way they talk, what will be the difference? Why should God be in me and both of us be stranded? Listen, if there's anyone in this conference who got stranded anywhere, every barrier will be taken away for your sake. From this conference, there will be divine acceleration in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So, in 1 Samuel 16:13, they said that Samuel anointed David in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that day forward. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that day forward. Okay? So, the principal characteristic of Joseph was wisdom. Can we find a man as wise as this? And then for David, it was the same thing. Let me read from 1 Samuel First Samuel chapter 16. Verse 13 says, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah." Verse 14 says, "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said to him, 'Surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you.'" Well, in those days, they would credit everything to God, both good and bad. "Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp, and it shall be that he will play it with his hand when the distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be well." So Saul said to his servants, "Provide me now a man who can play well and bring him to me." Then one of the servants answered and said, "Look, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person, and the Lord is with him." Amen. Okay, so this what the Spirit of God produced in David was excellence. It was perfection. It was skillfulness. And when he operated on that skill, the anointing of the Holy Spirit came to work to the extent that demons ran away when David was playing. So David was invited to the palace to solve a problem. I want you to see the combination between being anointed and being a problem solver. Because these days, many people attend anointing services, but they don't understand the purpose of the anointing. Given our deprivation, the level of suffering and poverty that we have experienced in this country, I figure when most people go for anointing services, it is to break free from the poverty. It is to collect the power of God so they can buy a car, get the power of God so they can get a job, get the power of God so they can get accommodation. But when I look in the Bible, that's not the reason why they got the anointing. Acts 10:38 says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil." He said in Luke 4:18-19, "The Spirit of Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." I'm not the poor. I am solving problems for the poor. The best way to solve the poverty problem is to become a poverty problem solver. Amen. You use that anointing that God has given you to solve problems for people. Money is only a means of exchange of value. If value goes from you, money will come back to you. Amen. Okay, but what we have to focus on is problem solving. That is the purpose of the anointing. Problem solving. So David took the anointing and became a problem solver. He was there taking care of his father's sheep. Some people say, "I'm waiting for an unusual opportunity, my breakthrough opportunity." I tell people, the opportunity you have now is your breakthrough opportunity. If the anointing is not showing on what you are doing, it won't show in anywhere else. It won't show anywhere else. Say, it's because I'm still working for somebody. When I start my own, I promise you, what you are doing now is what you will do when you start your own. Did you hear what Jesus said? If you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you your own? That's the way it works. If you've been faithful in that which is little, they will commit to your hand that which is much. So it's no surprise that David will be invited to the palace. Because even the sheep, you know, he was with the sheep in the bush. But even there, he used the anointing. The anointing was for the palace. But I'm telling you, there are no small opportunities in life. The big breaks are in the small breaks. Be faithful where God has put you. If the wisdom is there, the anointing is there, be a problem solver where you are, at whatever level. The lion came and took the sheep. David went after the lion. I cannot be anointed and the sheep will be reducing in quantity under my watch. I cannot be anointed and the sheep will be reducing in quantity. It can only increase, not reduce. So he said, "I went after the lion. Of what use is the anointing on my life if I don't have challenges?" You see, the essence of the anointing is problem solving. So people who are anointed don't run away from problems. They run towards them. Amen? What would the average person do? Run away from the lion. If you run into the house, I mean, if that day, if David had run, if he ran, entered the house, jammed the door everywhere, and everybody said, "What's that? What's that? Hey, what is this? A lion? Lion? La, what is a lion? Where is it?" What happened? Did the lion touch you? Then no. They would do a Thanksgiving service that he didn't die, that the lion didn't kill him. But David was not that kind of person. He said, "I went after him." He said, "I held him by the bed." He said, "I smote him and I took the sheep out of his jaws." From today, things will not fail in your hand anymore. That's the essence. Problem solving. We can't be talking the way everybody else is talking. There's a different spirit in us. Okay? So, but it didn't end there. Okay? He still went back to take care of sheep. And then there was a problem in the palace. And somebody was there to mention his name. See, this is the season when someone that you served, that you have forgotten, that you served in a seemingly small position, served as a clerk. This one, okay? Only God knows where this person met David. But there was somebody in the palace to mention David's name. This season, someone will remember you. Amen. They will mention your name somewhere. Amen. It is God that appoints kings. It is God that removes kings. This season, you know, God said, "I will overturn it until he comes whose turn it is, and I will give it to him." This season, they will make decisions. Those decisions will not hold until you are given the appointment. My challenge, you know, my greatest prayer is not that God should create opportunities for Christians to lead in this country. That used to be my prayer. I've stopped it. Why? We've seen many Christians go into political office. And they did worse than unbelievers. Then that's caused me to step back and say, "Excuse me, what did you put inside them before you sent them there? You can't give what you don't have. You can't give what you don't. If there's any institution that has the capacity to produce high quality leaders, it should be the church. So our own products should not go and give in and fail where others are failing. There's a new generation, Sam. There's a new generation." Okay? So David goes into the palace, and then in 1 Samuel 17, you have the Goliath problem. The Philistines came to wage a war. Goliath stepped out. 40 days he terrorized Israel's army. Nobody could handle him. Until David came on errand. One of these days, some supernatural coincidences will happen in your life. You will be running your normal duties. You will meet opportunities you did not plan for. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So, once David took Goliath out, you know, I told you, people who are anointed run towards problems. Goliath was so angry when he saw the thing. Isn't that exciting? They're going to underestimate us when we show up on the scene, because they will think that the key to victory is in our size, physical size. They won't know we're 1 million times bigger on the inside than we look on the outside. He was underestimated. Goliath was so angry. Goliath, you know, furiously walked towards him. David ran towards Goliath. God is raising the generation that will take our giants down in our part of the world. But my emphasis is, it doesn't matter what your status is now. If the solution is with you, they will beat the bush part to come to your door. You know, I was sharing something with our church members on Sunday, from Luke chapter 3. And that was the picture that the Holy Spirit gave me about this conference. Let me read it. In Luke chapter 3, the first two verses. Or the first three verses. It says, "Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, while Annas and Caiaphas were high priests, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." You know what I saw there? Because I have a leadership bias when I read the Bible. I saw the power brokers of that day. right from Caesar in Rome. Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, governor of Judea, and then you had the tetrarchs, Herod, Philip, you know, Lysanias, and then you have even the spiritual power structure of those days, Annas and Caiaphas. But there was something wrong with the leadership structure of that day. They were not in alignment with God's divine purposes anymore. God, wanting to start a new order, sent a revelation. And the revelation missed the palace. Revelation avoided the palaces, and went and landed on someone in the wilderness. And people left the cities to go and meet the man in the wilderness who had the new revelation. Hallelujah. When we say leaders, a lot of time people say, they think we should talk about people who hold political positions here and there. What we are concerned about is the will of God, the counsel of God, the purposes of God. And the truth is that in our nation and in our times, many people who occupy leadership positions are out of sync with God. God is raising a new generation. In the course of this conference, revelation will locate you. From that moment onwards, you will become a solution provider. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Daniel was a captive of war. But because of his connection to the wisdom of heaven, they could not do without him. 4 administrations, sir. They couldn't do without him because of his access to unusual wisdom. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that in the course of this conference, God will open the eyes of your understanding. Amen. You will begin to see like you have never seen before. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Arise, shine, God's word says. Your light has come. The glory of God has risen on you. He said darkness will cover the earth. Gross darkness the people. It is not our business to describe the darkness. It is our business to call light into existence. Somebody said, don't curse the darkness. Lighten the candle. Amen. Bring in the candle. That's also nonsense. Well, this is our greatest opportunity. You know, people may look at our country and think this is one of the greatest problem areas in the world. I see it as one of the greatest opportunity areas in our world at the moment. Our principal requirement for leadership is wisdom. In the Bible, wisdom was a principal requirement for leadership. In Acts chapter 6, when there was a problem about the distribution of food, Acts chapter 6 verse 3, they said, look out from among you, men who are of good report. They said, men full of wisdom and the Holy Spirit. That's it. In the Bible, if you wanted to appoint a leader, because they were going to solve problems, their brains had to be working at a supernatural frequency. If you want to choose anybody to be a leader, the person has to be full of wisdom. The person had to be full of wisdom. Because leaders are appointed to solve problems. In Acts chapter 3, they were being appointed to solve problems. The application of wisdom for the creation of unique solutions is what we call innovation. The application of wisdom for the provision of unique solutions is what we call innovation. Innovation is different from invention. Invention is creating something entirely new. Innovation sometimes is new. Innovation, a whole lot more of the times, is just a rearrangement of old things in new ways. Okay? It's just the resources are dire, but you find ways to connect them to create unique solutions for the unique circumstances at hand. Our God is the number one leader ever, and he's also the number one innovator. You read the creation story in Genesis chapter 1, it's about God bringing out of what already was something new. Creating out of already was something new. The potential for light was inside the darkness. As dark as it was, the gases that will form the sun, form the moon, all of them were there. Okay? At first, it was all water. The soil was inside the water. God called it out. Everything we need is already provided around. It is just being able to call them forth, to see potential when nobody else has seen it. In the course of this conference, the Spirit of God will blow over your spirit, blow over your mind, and cause you to begin to see things the way we've never seen them before. I want to remind us that we have the nature of God. First, it's the nature of dominion. God can never be dominated by any situation or circumstance. We must have faith. From here on, in the name of Jesus Christ, nothing will be impossible to you. Mark 9:23 says, all things are possible to him that believes. From here on, in the name of Jesus, you will receive what we call the spirit of faith. Jesus looked at the fig tree, caused it. The thing dried off from the root. The disciples said, ah, Master, how did you do that? He said, I have the God kind of faith. Don't ever believe that any problem is unsolvable. We live in an environment where, you know, we live with specific problems for 10 years, 20 years. Some roads, road junctions, traffic problems are there for 20 years. Before you know it, everybody just assumes some problems cannot be solved. As someone who has the Spirit of God, you cannot take that. You can't accept that. There is no problem on this planet that cannot be solved. Problems exist to be solved. Somebody said that the problem is not the problem. The problem is the person confronting the problem. Hallelujah. The solution providers have arrived. And then I like to say that it is God's nature to be creative. Through us, God will bring solutions that have never been seen before. The many-sided, diversified wisdom of God. Things that eyes have not seen, that ears have not heard. Things that never entered into the heart of any man before. When Jesus was here, people looked at him in Mark chapter 6. They said, Mark 6 verse 2, they said, is that not the carpenter? Where did this man get these things from? They said. Where did this man get these things from? What wisdom is this that is given to him that such mighty works are performed by his hands? So the secret to the mighty works of Jesus was wisdom. It was innovation. He healed blind eyes in different ways. Some he commanded to be opened. Some he touched. One he spat into the ground, made mud, and plastered the eyes and told him to go and wash at the pool of Siloam. Different ways. Hallelujah. Innovation. Listen, from here on, you will see signs. You will see miracles as the Spirit of God walks through you. He looked at the crowd. Mark 6 verse 5, he was moved with compassion. John 6, 6 says, you know, he was asking Philip, where will we get bread for these people to eat? Verse 6 says, this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. How to feed a crowd with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. From here on, your brain will never be stranded again. Philip was seeing impossibility. No money, no food. He knew what he will do. By the time this conference is over, you will know exactly what to do. Amen. To move to the next level. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. They will soon send for you. Amen. They will ask for wisdom from your lips. Amen. The prophecy is that in the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be set at the top of all the other mountains. And people will say, let us go to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may show us his way. They are coming to church. Because the solution providers are coming from here now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever was a sort of confusion to you before you came for this conference, by the time you leave, it will have turned into a testimony. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. But while you are here in this conference, someone will hear good news. You will get a text message. You will get an email. Because your time in God's presence is not going to be a waste. The heavens will be open to you while you are here in the mighty name of Jesus. As it was said concerning Jesus, so it will be said concerning you. And Jesus returned into Galilee in the power of the Spirit. You will return in power. Your fame will go abroad. Because from that moment, anything Jesus confronted that was a problem became an opportunity for miracles. I prophesy that from now, from here, from ELC 2011, anything you confront that is called a problem will become an opportunity for miracles in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, whatever has been organized against your destiny, that has been working against you, I stand under God's authority to declare it is destroyed. If it is a curse, its power is broken. I call on the blood of the covenant today to declare every curse from wherever it may have come, because of the blood of Jesus, every curse is dissolved. Every negative word ever spoken against your destiny is dissolved now. The power of sicknesses and diseases is destroyed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I prophesy favor on your life like you never had it before. Saul met Samuel the prophet. Samuel poured oil on his head. He said, is it not because the Lord has appointed you captain over his inheritance? An ordinary man became a king because he met a prophet. On this mountain, we are meeting with the Holy Spirit himself. I declare your days of becoming captain, your days of exercising authority over territories, those days have arrived. As the level of authority on Saul changed, his circumstances changed. Samuel said, when you leave here, you will hear good news. The donkeys you've been looking for, struggling to get, when there was no anointing on your life, you will meet someone who will tell you the donkeys have been found. This convention marks the end of fruitless efforts. It's a season of good news for you. I said it's a season of good news. It's a season of recovery of destiny. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Welcome to ELC 2011.
We believe that the wonders of the Word of God have begun. For additional information, call 01793-7415 or 01815-1435 or email us at contactus@dashrng.org.
Join us for any of our four services at 7 a.m., 8:30 a.m., 10 a.m., and 11:30 a.m. at Plot A3C, Ikosi Road, Oregon, Lagos, Nigeria. You could also visit our website at www.daystarng.org.
Or watch the church service at www.daystarng.tv. You are destined to succeed. You will succeed.